Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm Adam Epstein. Welcome back. You're listening to A-Wide Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. If you simply Google search Commanders, Washington football team, Redskins, whatever you want to call them, the top headline will be President Trump calls for Commanders to go back to old nickname, and he threatens to block the DC Stadium deal if they don't. I do believe the Commanders now have to respond to this. I don't believe what he can say can actually happen. I don't think he can actually force them to go back to Redskins. I don't think he can stop the stadium deal. But he's the president of the United States, and when he makes a statement like that, I feel like ownership now has to respond. So we're all waiting for Josh Harris to release a statement or Adam Peters to release a statement, because you know Dan Quinn will be asked about it when he speaks to the media ahead of the start of training camp. But to me, the big story still for the Washington Commanders is, when will Terry McLaurin be in the building? That's the lead story on the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready, folks?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
Tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 910 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we will read it on air. As we're all wondering when an update will be provided about Terry McLaurin, Fox Sports had this to say. Wide receiver Terry McLaurin of the Washington Commanders is willing to do whatever it takes to secure a long-term deal, which includes a possible trade request, per Fox Sports. They say if necessary, McLaurin will explore every option, including a holdout, a hold-in, and a trade request. Per the source, everything will be on the table, but McLaurin is taking things day to day in hopes of hearing more from the Commanders, who have not talked to him about his contract in weeks, even after he spoke out about the dissatisfaction. Now, there's almost like reports that kind of go against that, because I read over the weekend the Commanders are all in on keeping Terry McLaurin and will not even consider trading him. And to be honest, that's exactly how I feel about this situation here. Terry McLaurin is frustrated. He wants a deal. Washington is all in on making sure he stays here. Will he be forced to take a pay decrease? I don't know about that, because I think he wants something over $30 million. But in my mind, that's the last missing puzzle for this team to make the playoffs once again. I named my 50 reasons they'd get back into the playoffs. Reason 49 was there would be a new edge rusher in the building. And that happened last week with Von Miller. And now the contract details are out. $6 million, guaranteed $10 million if he gets all of his incentives, which I'm sure are getting a couple sacks and helping this team win enough games to make it into the postseason, and then staying on the field and being an impactful player in the postseason. So I thought Von Miller was a massive signing for Washington. And the question of the day today on the Richmond Commander, 833-804-0910, or what are your expectations for 2025? I told you, it's 10 wins at least and a playoff berth. Anything below that, I will be extremely dissatisfied. And one of the reasons why I think this team can take a step forward defensively is Frankie Luvu stepping into the prime of his career. And the NFL has released their list slowly but steadily of the top 100 players in the league. And it included Laremy Tunsil, the new left tackle who came in from Houston, who will be hopefully a star in the blindside position. And included Bobby Wagner. And coming in at number 70 was Frankie Luvu. And in their breakdown of what Frankie Luvu has done in his career to earn top 100 players in the NFL, Micah Parsons had this to say, and I thought this was very interesting.
Frankie Luvu, he does so much in this Dan Quinn defense.
He definitely jumped up. It's no surprise. That Dan Quinn system, I miss some days being off the ball, and you get to get them one-on-ones on the back. He won those matchups, though.
They're going to get there fast. Frankie Luvu beats him upfield and runs the hoop. Nice job, Boos.
Dog. You're dog.
Micah Parsons talking about he misses the days playing for Dan Quinn, and Dan Quinn's schemes are able to find a way to get Frankie Luvu favorable matchups. You give me Frankie Luvu or Bobby Wagner against a running back, I'm going to pick them to win it 8 out of 10 times. You give me Frankie Luvu against a chip-blocking tight end, I'm going to take Frankie Luvu 8 out of 10 times. And so that's what I think is important for the defensive side of the ball this year, is understanding and being able to execute Dan Quinn's schemes, Joe Witt's schemes, on the defensive side of the ball. Because I'm telling you, I don't believe Dante Fowler Jr. will have anything near 10.5 sacks for the Dallas Cowboys. It was a scheme thing that he got 10.5 sacks for the Washington Commanders this past season. So if they were able to scheme Dante Fowler to get sacks, I think they can scheme Dorrance Armstrong if he's healthy, Cleveland Farrell, Von Miller, Jacob Martin, the rest of the edge rushers, and they will get a few sacks, I believe, from the defensive tackles, Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, and then the blitzing outside linebackers, Frankie Luvu, maybe Kane Medrano, maybe like a Javonte Jean-Baptiste or Bobby Wagner as well. But the defensive side of the ball, I believe, can take a step forward. One, because there's some impactful signings. I'm excited for Will Harris. You've heard me talk about Von Miller at length. I think Daron Payne takes a step forward. Johnny Newton takes a step forward. Javon Kinlaw, Dietrich Wise make an impact. But my bigger expectation for this Commanders defense to be better is just simply more chemistry and more time to understand what's being asked of them. Dan Quinn has done a great job of putting every veteran in their role, right? And Austin Ekeler was in his role, and Zach Ertz was in his role, right? And Bobby Wagner excelled in his role last year. And as we bring in more veterans, they'll be asked to do their role. And so we are not going to ask Von Miller to play first and second down for a lot of this season. But darn it, he's going to be asked to play almost every single impactful third down, especially if it's third and obvious passing down situations, third and, you know, five or higher. So I'm super excited about that. And so as training camp begins later this week, what are your expectations for the 2025 Washington Commanders? 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Let's check in with the guys behind the glass, Stubb and Biff. I just feel like this front office has done everything that you could have asked them to do. They shored up the offensive line. They got Jaden Moore weapons. They brought in defensive players to make an impact. Yes, Terry McLaurin's contract still needs to happen. But aside from that, I think they've done everything to help this team meet the expectations in 2025 of being a playoff team again.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And for the first time in my life, like I've said, that it feels like the front office is doing everything right. And I think that's what's kind of hard for us as a fan base to like, and that's why we're all really upset about Terry, because, you know, the front offices, you know, and the coaching staffs for I don't even know how long has always been a question mark for this team. And so I think, you know, we're easy to to bounce on it. So right when we see like our favorite player who's been there through everything not get a contract signed, we forget that, oh, there's a whole business and there's whatever, like 100 and 200 more players that they have to deal with. And then so like at the end of the day, I think we just got to understand that we should really be super happy with what the front office has done this offseason. And yeah, it's annoying, but that's what business is. And like everyone's been saying, man, they really think that this is the week that Terry gets extended. And when that happens, I think everyone's going to be happy. And I think you really have to give this this offseason grade. If it's not higher than an A-, I think you're wrong.
Yeah, I mean, especially once McLaurin gets signed here, this front office and the moves they've made, they deserve some leniency. They deserve to be able to work out this deal with Terry McLaurin and not be under the microscope, right? Not be under the spotlight of, man, I can't believe you guys didn't get this done. This would be the first mistake in my mind of Adam Peters, because I don't consider Marshawn Lattimore a mistake, even though some people have brought that up as the one error in Adam Peters' job here as the general manager of the Washington Commanders. I don't think so.
No.
Last year, you had to make a move because the team got to 7-2. When you're 7-2, it doesn't matter who's your quarterback, doesn't matter who's your coach, you're thinking Super Bowl when you're 7-2, right? And so they had to make a move to try to get better on the defensive side of the ball, and there will be some lofty expectations for Marshawn Lattimore this year now that he's fully healthy, given the fact that they traded basically a third-round pick for him. But this front office has earned the credit to be able to work out this deal with Terry McLaurin, in my mind, not be under the microscope of why isn't this deal getting done. But in my mind, what's going on here is Terry McLaurin spoke out, and he's trying to get something to work here. I don't think he is trying to break away from the Commanders. I don't think he is doing what he's doing in terms of speaking to the media and demanding the money. I don't think that's because he wants to leave this team or because he wants to be traded. He's desperate to have success again in this uniform, the team that he was drafted for. He just wants to be respected. And so I hate that we're still talking about it, but it's a business league, and behind the scenes here, it's frustrating, but I do believe something will happen. And a hold-in might be like the best-case scenario where McLaurin would, you know, come to training camp, right? A hold-in is a player that comes to training camp, is on site. They might not participate in practice because they don't want to get injured, but that's, you know, there's zero distraction in my mind if Terry McLaurin is a hold-in at training camp, because that says he's all in on this team. He just wants the contract to be worked out behind the scenes. And I also love how Terry said, you know, he's spoken with his teammates, he's golfed with them. Dan Quinn's told everybody that he's been in communication with Terry McLaurin. And so I think everybody's on the same page here. And I really don't think this is going to blow up and end up in a trade situation at all. I'm still waiting. But training camp begins this week. We'll look at some of the training camp battles that we expect to be very interesting. I am super excited for this offensive line, because I think they have a chance to be an elite offensive line group. But there are certainly some things that will need to happen. Josh Connolly's going to need to win the right tackle position, because if it's Andrew Wiley, I'm not excited about the right side of the ball. Brandon Coleman's going to need to successfully transition to guard, and then somebody's going to have to hold Sam Cosmi's place until he makes his return. So we'll look at some of the training camp battles, but in my mind, I think top of the list there is the O-line and the D-line, edge rushers who are going to get after the quarterback. You're listening to AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, it's AWOD on the road, presented by Cowan Gates. We'll be live from Charlotte, North Carolina for the rest of the week for ACC kickoff, finishing up a road trip here to Charleston, South Carolina, where I got to meet the new youngest member of the AWOD Army, Baby Francis. I posted about her on social media if you follow me on AWOD Radio. If you want to see my new baby cousin who is listening to the show, she said, great job, really good first hour. Biff could get a little better and Stub in the run ones and twos, but she's liking what she's hearing from her little baby crib just about 5 feet away from me. It's time to go around the National Football League here on NFL Hits Offseason with AWOD.
Every offseason rumor, every free agent on the move, and the drama surrounding the NFL draft. It's NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
All right, so let's go around the room here because training camps began in the National Football League this week around the country. What is the one that you're looking forward to most or has the most interesting storylines that pop out to me? I'm choosing to not talk about Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers on purpose for this segment because I don't want to fight with you guys about this dumb quarterback and the Steelers, but I almost guarantee you they're going to win 10 games, especially with some of the moves they've made the last few weeks here, the trade for Jalen Ramsey, Jonnu Smith, and locking in T.J. Watt. But I'm going to start the NFL conversation about Lamar Jackson, the Ravens quarterback, and their chance of winning the Super Bowl. It's on his heart, it's on his mind, was the coach of the Baltimore Ravens being quoted, John Harbaugh, saying, starting with the Bills game, there was some kind of deep felt loss. The last two seasons have ended that way with some really emotional losses. Of course, the defeats he's talking about in 2023, the Ravens made it to the AFC Championship game and were at home, losing to the Kansas City Chiefs, who eventually went on to win the Super Bowl. Turnovers cost them. And then the pattern repeated itself in Buffalo. Jackson had two awful turnovers, a fumble and interception, and then Mark Andrews, his most trusted weapon, drops the two-point conversion that would have sent it to overtime, and they dropped the game 27-25. So I am super excited for what Baltimore can do, and I even teased it earlier. I think there's a legit chance for the first time in my life we could have a DMV Super Bowl in San Francisco, Ravens against the Commanders. So in terms of storylines and training camps that I'm super excited for, I got to start with Lamar, who was basically an MVP last season. And it's just, it's almost like it's not talked about enough. Career high in touchdowns, 41 in the air. Just four interceptions, career low. I mean, it's just insane how good he was last season. And yet, once again, they're knocking on the door and they lost. Their window of opportunity, it's hard to say it's closing because he's still so young, but it feels like if it's going to happen, it's going to have to happen before he turns 30, All right, he's 28. He'll turn 29 right before the Super Bowl, January of 2026. It's got to happen this year or next year. I'm starting with the Ravens. What are you guys thinking?
I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears. I'm excited to see what a new head coach in Ben Johnson does as a arriving head coach. And that kind of goes off of what he did in Detroit and how I wanted Ben Johnson last year for the Commanders job.
Right.
And you know, I'm obviously very happy that we got Dan Quinn, and Dan Quinn's worked out. So I'm curious on how that's going to work, because that's probably arguably the biggest addition throughout the offseason, was the Bears landing Coach Johnson. And now with the you know, a rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams, who didn't have a good season or up to the par of season that we thought he would have last year, for his second year, he's got a young core. You got a tight end from Michigan. Loveland, Luther Burden, Rome Odunze. Those young core. I'm excited to see what the Bears do this offseason.
Yeah, I like that, because he was absolutely America's favorite offense coordinator last year. And you're not alone. Most Commanders fans wanted Ben Johnson, Grant Paulson. They were doing a whole segment every day. Stubb remembers. It was like Ben Johnson alerts for Grant and Danny. They absolutely wanted him. He ends up playing coaching another season in Detroit, goes to Chicago. I like that answer a lot. Stubb, what do you think?
I'm super interested in New England this offseason with Vrabel and year two Drake May. Actual weapons this time and actual O-line this time. I mean, we were talking about Drake May and Jaden Daniels in the offseason being kind of comparable, one or the other. Obviously, Jaden Daniels had a much better season, but I'm interested to see if Drake May is the kind of guy people were talking about him to be, especially with a New England team that will hopefully be good for the first time in a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to even say that, because for my lifetime, they've been the New England Patriots. Like, it's like the Ohio State, they were the New England Patriots, because they were winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl, and their season record over and over again was like 12 wins, like on average, right? I mean, it's insane to think about the struggles of the last few years. And I mean, you have to say, they got it wrong with the head coaching hire. They got it wrong going from Belichick to Mayo. Heck, maybe they should have stuck with Belichick for another year, or they could have hired Mike Vrabel. He was a coach in waiting last year doing nothing. And so you talk about, this is a team that loses in the wild card in 2021. Tom Brady says goodbye. 2022, 8-9. 2023, 4-13. Goodbye, Belichick. New coach. You're thinking they're going to be decent? Maybe better than 4 wins? Nope, 4-13 again. So with Mike Vrabel coming in here, I think the expectations are this team maybe gets back to a winning record. Right, because he is going to make a massive difference on the defensive side of the ball. He's one of the best defensive coaches that we've seen here. He learned from Belichick. He played for Belichick. He had the success in Tennessee, which is like such a hard place to have success in, right? I mean, it's like Cleveland almost having success there, having success in Tennessee. We've only seen that like twice in the last 30 years. And one time it was because they had Steve McNair, right? So he had success with Tennessee. And so I do feel like New England could get to 8-9. Like, that's probably the bottom. I think they will win 4 more games. And Drake May is very exciting. I mean, in terms of the guys that went last year, Jaden, Bo Nix, Drake May. I think Drake May has surpassed Caleb Williams in terms of expectations just based off of what he did at the end of last season. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, going around the National Football League with training camps set to begin this week. On the sports app, we mentioned Will Levis's injury. It's kind of crazy that he chose now to have surgery, and so he will miss the entire season and will eventually be traded. I find it hard that another team will even take a shot on Will Levis. We might have seen his last time getting a shot to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League, and this is a guy that went second round, 33 overall. I mean, 33 overall, the first pick of the second round to the Tennessee Titans out of Kentucky, one of the best quarterbacks Kentucky has had in the last 10 years. But it's kind of hard for me to find a landing spot for him. Now, you got to say, well, Daniel Jones found a landing spot. Well, Justin Fields found a landing spot, so he might eventually find a landing spot. But yeah, that was interesting news today. We'll go around the NFC East later on the show today. Expectations for each team in this division. I told you for Washington, I think the expectations for this fan base should be 10 wins. Everyone's going to get, be drinking the Kool-Aid and get over their skis here and say, oh, conference championship game, 12 wins again. No, the expectations should be back-to-back trips to the postseason. Biff has never seen that. Stubb has never seen that. I was 6 months old when that happened, 1991 and 1992. Back-to-back postseason appearances. I'm asking for it. Heck, I'm begging for it here on The Fan. You're listening to AWOD Radio. This is the new sports radio, 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We'll continue to talk about training camps around the league with our NFL insider, Mark Schofield, who joins us next on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio, 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, phone lines are open throughout the show. We like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. You can call in 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 910 The Fan. We go out to the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline to continue our NFL discussion with training camp set to begin around the league this week. It's Mark Schofield with us on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. What's going on, Mark?
What's going on, Adam? How you doing today, my friend?
Good. Can you provide us an update on which second-round picks remain unsigned and why this maybe isn't more of a national story?
Well, I mean, I think we're going to get most second-round picks, and they started coming in over the past, 48, 72 hours, because what really sort of set this off was the fact that the Texans gave a fully guaranteed contract to their second round pick, which was the first that we've seen that. And now you've got every other second round pick decided, look, that's what I want. That's the deal I want. And it's, it's very similar. We had obviously the past sort of week or so the story come out about the NFLPA and Lloyd Howell Jr. and, Pablo Torre on his podcast tracked down that unpublished opinion from an arbitrator that looked at Kyler Murray's contract, Lamar Jackson's contract, Russell Wilson's contract, Deshaun Watson, and how those contract negotiations were handled in the wake of Deshaun Watson's fully guaranteed contract. And one of the things that came out was that owners were, as we expected, not happy with Cleveland given that fully guaranteed deal. The same sort of situation played out here where you have the Texans decide, look, we're going to give this fully guaranteed contract to our second round pick, Jalen Higgins, a wide receiver out of Iowa State. And now every other second round pick wants the same kind of contract. And so we've started to see movement on that front. Most of them are signed at this point. We're going to get the rest of them in before camp this week. But that's sort of what set this off. I am, like you said, surprised it wasn't a bigger story. I think the fact that, we get out of the draft and people sort of step away from the football world a little bit, that's probably why it wasn't a bigger story. But at this point, we've got five that aren't signed. Now, one of those is Quinshon Judkins. That's a different scenario because he's now got the legal situation that he's facing. There's a criminal investigation into an accusation that he punched a woman. So that's probably a different scenario. You've got Will Johnson. You've got Ole Mefu Odejo. They haven't been signed yet. Andrew Mabuka, safety drafted by the Eagles, he just signed in the past hour or so. So again, we're getting most of them signed. Those are the three right now that remain unsigned. And Judkins, there's another angle to that, which would probably see him remain unsigned for the near future.
Mark Schofield with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Mark, we just went around the room talking about which training camps around the league we're most excited for in terms of storylines. What comes to mind for you?
Look, I mean, we know quarterback discussions always move the needle, right? I mean, it's low-hanging fruit, but it's the easiest thing to sort of talk about. Look, my mom texted me about things like this morning, right? You've got the Cleveland Browns five-way quarterback battle. Mm-hmm. You've got Daniel Jones versus Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. And you've got Russell Wilson versus Jackson Dart versus Tommy DeVito versus Jameis Winston, yeah, in New York City. And so those quarterback battles are going to be fascinating. They will move the needle. They will be a huge discussion point. But they're not the only training camp battles. And there are some other ones, Adam, that I have my eyes on. One of which, Chicago Bears, Colston Loveland, Cole Kmet, tight end one. Who's going to get the majority of tight end snaps, the majority of tight end targets in that offense? Because you look at Ben Johnson and what he did in Detroit and how he structured that offense. It was, you might want to say, that Lions on both sides of the ball really built their offensive defense up the middle, right? Running backs, tight ends in the offensive side of the ball, linebackers, safeties on the defensive side of the ball. Samuel Porter, he got a ton of targets in that Lions offense. So tight end one is going to be a fascinating battle to watch in Chicago. You look at the Cowboys running back room. That's an interesting battle to watch. Obviously, a big need for the Chiefs going into this season is rebuilding that offensive line. Who wins the left tackle spot? That's another training camp battle to watch. Yes, the quarterback battles are going to move the needle. They're going to be huge storylines. But there are some other position battles to watch as training camps get going.
Mark, is J.J. McCarthy ready for the spotlight? Is he ready to be QB1 under center for a team that won 14 games last year? I mean, we say this about the Commanders, same thing with the Vikings. They were the hunters. They will be the hunted this year. I don't know that he's going to be ready. I'm not excited for J.J. McCarthy this year in Minnesota, but maybe that's just me.
No, I mean, I think that's sort of a common sentiment, is that there's not a lot of excitement about the J.J. McCarthy era started in Minnesota. But I think a reason to, if you're a Vikings fan, have some optimism, it starts with Kevin O'Connell. I mean, we saw what he did with Sam Darnold. There weren't too many people probably excited about Sam Darnold winning that job. But like you said, they won 14 games. They were on the cusp of the number one seed and the only first round bye in the NFC until that Week 18 loss to the Detroit Lions. Kevin O'Connell did a very good job at scheming a game plan in for Sam Darnold and getting him ready. And sometimes as a young player, as a young quarterback, and this is something that happened with Darnold early in his career, you have an injury, you have an opportunity to sort of take a step back and learn by watching, learn by observing, learn how to be an NFL quarterback, because it's a much different experience than it is being on campus under Jim Harbaugh at the University of Michigan, where he won a national title. You got a chance to sort of observe, learn that offense, learn that playbook, not get thrown into the frying pan right away. Now he's had an opportunity to take that experience, watch it and observe it and learn it, and now apply it in his first year as a starter. Again, the optimism in Minnesota, if you're a Vikings fan, rests on Kevin O'Connell's ability to game plan for a quarterback, to scheme a quarterback up. But if J.J. McCarthy is successful, it starts with what Kevin O'Connell can do for him.
What are your thoughts on Justin Fields and the New York Jets? They were kind of an embarrassment to the league last year.
Yeah, it wasn't great last year. Obviously, the Aaron Rodgers experiment did not pan out for the New York Jets. And you, of course, now wonder about, well, will it work in Pittsburgh? Yes, we'll see. I've been a Justin Fields fan since he was coming out of Ohio State. He was my second favorite quarterback in that class behind Trevor Lawrence. I remain a Justin Fields believer. There have been moments where you saw what he can do in the National Football League. You saw flashes of how that, not just his athleticism translates, but some of what he can do in the pocket passing game. So I am optimistic, and I know we've talked about this before, Adam. Obviously, Ben Johnson got the lion's share of attention, no pun intended there, in terms of the head coaching candidates from Detroit, right? Everybody looked at Ben Johnson, said, look, he's the next hot commodity as a head coach. Look what he did with Jared Goff. I was very impressed with Aaron Glenn. You know, you saw the defensive injuries on that side of the ball in Detroit last year. They lost basically an entire started defense due to injury, but he had them playing well. We saw what Aaron Glenn and that defense did to Sam Darnold in that Week 18 game we just talked about. So I think Aaron Glenn is a very good hire by the New York Jets. So I'm optimistic about Justin Fields here, his first year in New York.
Mark, I wonder, you know, we've talked about a few teams in the past, like the New England Patriots, who I think a lot of people expect to have a pretty big turnaround, right? 4-13 to, you know, I said probably 8-9, maybe even 9-8 this season. What's the team that comes to mind for you that could be this year's Vikings, this year's Commanders, with a massive turnaround?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think New England is a team that should have a turnaround. And I think that you look at the additions, not just on the roster, they had a lot of cap space, they had an early pick with Will Campbell, who I think is going to be a perfect cornerstone left tackle for them. You know, I think they will have improvement this year. I don't know if they're getting to, say, where the Vikings did last year, or, you know, where the Commanders did last year. I think a team that could turn it around pretty quickly in the AFC is the Raiders. You know, you look at, you bring in Pete Carroll, you know, who's obviously got a track record of winning in the National Football League. You add a quarterback in Geno Smith that has some familiarity with Pete Carroll, that has won in this league as well and has enjoyed sort of this resurgence to his career. Now you add in an offensive coordinator in Chip Kelly, and you draft Ashton Jeanke, a running back who everybody believes can be a cornerstone back in the National Football League. It is going to be in a very friendly offensive system under Chip Kelly. I think this could be a very good football team. I have some questions about maybe the receiver room might have some issues there, but Brock Bowers looks to be every bit the dominant tight end we thought he would be coming out of Georgia and what he's done already in the National Football League. And so I look at the Raiders. Now, obviously, it's a tough division. You know, you've got Denver that made the playoffs a year ago. You've got the Chargers, who were always hanging around, made the playoffs a year ago, and certainly the Kansas City Chiefs. That's going to be a tough division. Yeah, but this is a team that only won a handful of games last year. I think they could turn it around pretty quickly.
Mark, always appreciate you taking the time, man. Thanks so much. The season's
almost here. Adam. Have a great week.
Yeah, training camp gets me so fired up. You know, NFL football is right around the corner. We were 50 days away last week. I believe you could say we're 7 touchdowns away from the start of the regular season now. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience.
I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. And just across my timeline, some very sad news reported by TMZ. Malcolm Jamal Warner from The Cosby Show, dead at 54 years old. Malcolm Jamal Warner died today at 54 years old. It was confirmed by TMZ, and we are hearing that it was an accident on a family vacation and that he passed away drowning, 54 years old. A huge rest in peace from us here at AWOD Radio. I want to take this time right now to recognize how amazing of an actor Malcolm Jamal Warner was as the lead story on Netflix.
Netflix, the best of streaming services, TV, movies, books, podcasts, and more. We've got you covered on Netflix.
So I'm not sure how much Stubb or Biff, our younger producers, know about The Cosby Show, but for a kid of the 90s, it was massive when The Cosby Show started getting re-aired on Nick at Nite, which started March of 2002. I was just 10 years old, and of course, The Cosby Show had an incredible run on NBC from 84 to 92, starring Bill Cosby. But when I started watching that and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I mean, that was some of the best parts of my childhood, staying up late, watching Nick at Nite. Of course, Full House was in there as well, but Malcolm Jamal Warner was such a cool actor. He played Theo in The Cosby Show, and it's just terribly sad news. I mean, 54 is so young. I do feel like I kind of watched him grow up in the reruns that I watched in the 2000s, but he was just one of the coolest, man. Had an amazing voice. Was such a great actor. Starred in a bunch of other things as well. A Different World, Read Between the Lines, had a show, Malcolm and Eddie, as well. But he was not just an actor. Actor, producer, director, poet, and bass player. Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show. I wanted to recognize your amazing work. Sad news today. RIP to acting legend Malcolm Jamal Warner. I know you guys were young, but Stubb, I mean, you know all about the movie and television industry. I'm sure you've seen him before.
I was looking. I'm really not super hip to any of his work. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm aware of The Cosby Show, but I'm not sure if I've caught an episode.
Yeah, and, you know, to be honest, you're younger where Bill Cosby's been in the news in such a negative light that it's not like you would go back and watch The Cosby Show. But for me, it was different. Bill Cosby was, like, America's father, America's grandpa. I mean, it was like a massive impact that he had on children. I remember, what was the show called? Like, Kids Say the Darndest Things or something that had Bill Cosby on there that I loved when I was growing up. I mean, that was just so funny to hear these kids talk. It had three seasons late in the 90s. I'm pretty sure they've tried it again. If not, we should bring it back with my little baby cousin Francis listening to the show, because kids do say the darndest things. But this was terribly sad news. I mean, I was stunned to see that, to be honest, because it's not like I'd seen him in the news a lot recently, just 54 years old. But whew, I mean, that is just such a sad story. I'm trying to find out more information about this, but all we're hearing is that it was just a tragic situation that happened on a family vacation that he drowned. Cosby Show star Malcolm Jamal Warner died at 54. It was just reported by TMZ. Several other news sites don't have an official cause of death, so I don't want to go on record and say that I am confirming that it was a drowning, but that is some of the reports that I have seen on social media. This is all such new information here that it's hard to tell. But man, it's shocking. It really is. He was, an iconic part of the 80s and 90s, and 54, just so young. It is discussing film on social media that has 3 million followers that is reporting that he died from an accidental drowning, sadly passing away at 54 years old. So, I mean, just a terrible story, unbelievably sad news breaking right now. Wow, Malcolm Jamal Warner, 1970 to 2025, best known for his show, his role of Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show. Hard to transition out of this, but we are in Netflix, so we wanted to bring you the latest Hollywood and entertainment. James Gunn is being asked about casting Wonder Woman because everybody wants to know who is going to be the cast of the next big thing that he comes out with, because Superman is just been awesome in terms of the box office and the success. It won the weekend once again, leaping past $400 million at the global box office, 57.3 this weekend. Jurassic World Rebirth was second place, 23.4 million. I just have no interest in seeing that at all. Now, Stubb, you went and actually did pay to see that.
That so I guess did.
You have the pass.
I have the
pass.
Subscription, yeah. Yes. So it's not quite a waste of money, but it still felt like one.
Yeah.
That movie's not great. It's not great. If you like dinosaurs, it's, you know, it's, there's one really good, like, 10-minute sequence in there that almost makes it worth it, but not quite.
I'm trying to look at the list here. So Jurassic Park, the original, was 1993. I love that one.
Yeah, one of the great, literally, like, maybe the greatest film of all time.
Yes, I mean, one of the best scores of all time, for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
The Lost World, Jurassic Park, 1997. I do remember watching that and being like, it was not
fine.
As good.
It's not nearly as good, yeah.
Jurassic Park 3 in 2001,
bad, actively bad.
Bad. And then since then, they've had a bunch. It started in 2015 with the reboot. And I don't think any of the reboots have been good at all. So it's Jurassic World 2015, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom 2018, Jurassic World Dominion, that was like the absolute worst that I saw.
That's a terrible
2022,
movie.
And now Jurassic World Rebirth.
I think Jurassic World has some worth. I think there's fun moments in it. But I mean, aside from that original, nothing passes a 6 out of 10, really.
Yeah, it's just, it's unfortunate because it's like an IP that Hollywood knows they can sink their teeth in it, like, you know, pun intended, with the Velociraptor, and make millions of dollars. Even though the last four have been bad, they're second place this
weekend.
They're on
a sixth streak of bad movies, if I'm being honest.
Yeah,
but it makes, I mean, they consistently, you're going to get 600 million to a billion with these movies. People keep seeing them. I keep seeing them.
I don't want to upset myself here, but I almost guarantee our young intern Biff has not seen the 1993 original. Because he's going to say he saw enough clips on it on TikTok, right?
I've actually seen it. My dad made me watch it. There you go. I like
Shout out to Papa Biff. Shout out to Griff's dad.
it was... I'm trying to think about, like, if I had to rank them, right, overall, because I would obviously say the newer versions were better. But now I was really excited to see this new movie, and then Stubb comes in and tells me it's not worth it. So okay, now I'm going to go pirate it and watch it. So,
watching just Scarlett Johansson makes it close. She is stunning in this movie.
I was a big Scarlett fan for a while. I don't know if I've been in love with her in a while. I kind of feel like I kind of fell off when she was dating the oldest man in the world in that movie. What was that movie called? Lost in Translation.
Oh, that was forever ago.
Yeah, I know, but
I don't
know
Bill why. Murray?
Yeah, did not get sized for her and 7-year-old Bill Murray together.
That's kind of the point of the movie, but
no, she was okay in a few things recently. Ever since she joined the MCU, I've looked at her differently.
She's still a solid Wes Anderson regular. I like when she shows up in them.
Yeah, she was. She was in that movie that everybody said was one of the worst of all time, and I started it and turned it off in like 10 minutes. It was called Fly Me to the Moon. Tell me Stubb didn't see that.
No, the Channing Tatum.
The Channing Tatum one.
Yeah, I missed that one.
It was so bad. I mean, if you made it past 15 minutes, congratulations, I owe you a beer. It was so awful. Oh, my goodness. Anything Hollywood and entertainment that you wanted to close out this segment with, Stubb?
Yeah, they dropped the first still image from Ted Lasso Season 4.
Really?
I haven't gotten around to 3 yet. I thought they were stopping at 3, but it's a picture of a couple of the cast sitting at a table, and it says, "We're not in Richmond anymore." Not this Richmond, the other
no,
one.
No, that was the only reason I liked the show, was AFC Richmond. Ugh, I had heard rumors that the Season 4 was going to have them come to America and they were going to buy a women's team, and Ted Lasso was going to be the coach.
Okay. They seem to be like a diner in the
club. I heard that pitch. I didn't like it because I think Jamie Shark was a big part of that show, right? Jamie Shark, boop, doot, 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 doot. I mean, he was such a big part of the show. I don't know how they can do it without him, but they're going to bring back the beard, right? They're going to bring back all the female castmates there, and of course Ted Lasso as well. Yeah, some of the details are being revealed today. I kind of thought that they ended it perfectly and that they shouldn't bring it back, but it was so popular. And Apple TV, even though we've given them credit about few series, that was their moneymaker.
Yeah, right? They've got new moneymakers now, but I agree. I think that was the initial boom of Apple was they have Ted Lasso, and everyone was talking about Ted Lasso. So yeah. I'm not surprised they're going to keep it going. It's like Netflix is still ringing that Stranger Things money somehow. I mean,
they are.
9 years, 5 seasons. That's disgusting.
I kind of just love looking into like Jason Sudeikis' rise in Hollywood.
Oh, I love Sudeikis, dude.
I mean, he did so many small roles.
Yeah.
He was in Semi-Pro. He was in The Rocker. He was in anything that was comedy from like 2007, 2015. And then since then, he has become an absolute A-lister. Yeah.
Dude, there was this terrible movie I watched with Zach Galifianakis called Masterminds. He steals every scene he's in that movie. It almost makes it worth watching,
dude,
just for him.
So I've seen Masterminds. The story of Masterminds is, like, incredible, but the movie's awful.
It's awful. Except like, when Jason Sudeikis is in it, and he's killing it.
But, the storyline of it is so good about how they plan to, like, rob that bank. But it was just such a bad movie besides Sudeikis. But I remember watching it, and I was like, the first 15 minutes, I was like, man, they are really on to something here. It's going to be good. And then it's just horrible. No, I wonder what really led to Jason Sudeikis' big fame that landed him that Ted Lasso role.
He did a commercial with the Ted Lasso character.
Right.
And I think that got turned into a show. I think he honestly just lucked into it.
Yeah. But it was like you saw his rise with Hall Pass, Horrible Bosses 1, Horrible Bosses 2. He was the star of We Are the Millers. I think that was like his first time being the 1A.
And he's a fantastic SNL alum. Like his run on SNL was great.
We Are the Millers is also like pretty funny, and that cast has really blown up. I mean, Will Poulter is on his way to being an A-lister.
He's doing great.
He's awesome. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.